In the studio, we have Abby Rayner and Shane McGinniskin, both from the Coober Pedy Fire Service. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Let's just start off by asking, what are your roles, your individual roles with the CFS?
So I am the captain of the CFS here in Coober Pedy and also the training coordinator. So, yeah, keeps me busy, that's for sure.
I'm senior firefighter. Mostly I'm just a mentor, one of the main drivers, which in turn means I'm also a pump operator. And it just depends on who turns out, what job you finish up doing.
We'll talk more about that a bit later, Shane, in terms of, you know, who have you got on the crew at the moment, have you got enough members, that kind of thing. So that will probably draw more of that out. Just in terms of the history of the CFS, what do you know about the history of the Coober Pedy CFS?
Personally, I don't. I've only been with Coober Pedy CFS for 5 years. I don't know a whole lot. I think the best person to ask about our history would be Jeff Squires. He's been with this brigade for a very long time.
About 19 years, I think it is. He's the longest serving member here. I believe the Coober Pedy Fire Service joined the CFS in the late 70s. But I'm only guessing at that, just a vague memory.
So Jeff Squires is the man to find for that.
He's definitely the man.
All right. Yeah. Keep that in mind in our back pocket. What drew you individually to get involved in the CFS?
I think for me, I joined the CFS when I was living in Marla, which is just north up the road. There wasn't very many people in the CFS and I just thought it would be, you know, I was able-bodied. I just thought it would be a good way for me to give back to my community. And then after moving to Coober Pedy just over 5 years ago, transferred here and, yeah, my reasons remain the same, I think. Just, yeah, like to help the community and I think, you know, if you can, you should. So, yeah.
For me, as soon as I decided that Coober Pedy was where I was going to live my life out, I wanted to do something to help the community. Well, even as a kid, I used to sort of, if someone asked me what I wanted to do, was be a fireman. But I think largely, sort of especially through the teens, that was just stirring. But I just wanted to do something to support the community that I wanted to live in.
Now, Shane, last time you were in the studio recording that special community service announcement that we hear occasionally, you did share a bit with me off the air about your reasons for staying in Coober Pedy, and it's a really compelling story, which I hope to follow up with you another time to share with, you know, town in maybe the Stories of Coober Pedy podcast project. But is it okay to say that you found a kind of a profound sense of peace here?
Yeah. For me, when I got here, I was suicidal, couldn't stand up straight. Within a couple of days of being here, sort of, I got out of bed and was able to stand up straight, which was, for me, amazing. And so I thought, instead of the 3 days I was going to stay here, I'll stay an extra couple. And the day before I was due to leave, I jumped in the car at the caravan park and headed out. And, you know, you get that niggling feeling, there's something missing. And I pulled over to the side of the road and sat there for a minute. Knew the caravan was locked, everything was turned off, anything that could walk had been put in, and I got out and walked around the car and nothing wrong. Got back in and sat there for a minute, and then I realised it was the first time in 5 years where I'd got in my car without thinking about what I could do to kill myself. And that pretty much locked in a reason for staying. Yeah, I still had bad days. Everybody does. It's part of life. But between my back and my head, that was a good enough reason to stay. Now, even if I've got to go down to Port Augusta, I fall apart mentally. I absolutely hate going into crowded areas.
So there are many, many things in that story that of yours, but one of them is that really deep connection, feeling of connection, you have a really palpable reason to kind of want to give back, I guess, to the community.
Yeah, well, sort of, I think every reasonable person wants to give back to their community. For me, the fire brigade's a perfect opportunity, not just to help if there's fires, but we go out to car accidents, help people out there. We help in a lot of community events, and we make being part of the fire service as much fun as we can. I'd like to think that we're sort of a family. We look after each other and help each other out where we can.
Well, you've already started talking about that topic of, like, other things that you do apart from putting out fires. Can you give us some more kind of examples of other things you get involved in?
Yeah, we try and do a lot of community events. So you'll see us at the Opal Festival. We're heading to the cricket match on Saturday, the Breakaways Marathon. We get asked quite often to do other community events, which is really good for us, I think, and it helps the community see, you know, what we're about, gives people a chance to come and chat to us. As for jobs in the service, we don't just do fires, we go to road accidents, we assist with the ambulance quite a lot, we assist at mine rescue jobs.
We provide fire cover out at the speedway anytime there's an event on. We're hoping to put together our own little team to race a car out there. One of us has got a Wintas Lotto so we can buy a car though. It's all part of the fun. If we've got to be out at the speedway, why not have one of our members derby and round? So all of our members will get the opportunity to have a try. Hopefully sort of none of them demolish the car before we get going, but it's just another spot where we're trying to make a little bit of fun for the members.
Before we finish our talk today, well, I'll ask you if there's a way that locals can donate or people listening can donate maybe towards that car or other CFS things, all right? So don't let me forget that. Tell us about the tug of war and your relationship with the SES, that fun kind of competition you have between you.
Over the years, we have at times had a very strained relationship from what I've been told. We're trying our hardest to work in together with them now. The tug of war at the Opal Festival, it's just a bit of friendly rivalry. We were lucky that one of the organisers grabbed a bloke who was walking past and said, "Here, you're a big fella, you get on the end of the rope." which is why we won this year. And it was nice to see AJ fall on his bum.
The SES won last year, so it was nice to take the win, I think. And we, how much did we win? $400, I think?
I think it was only $300.
Or $300, yeah. And we chose, mental health's a really big thing in Cooper Pedy and in our brigade. So we donated $300 to the Black Dog Institute, which was really good.
Fantastic. So I've heard a lot of things already about what might attract new recruits, a feeling of kind of family, togetherness, fun, a sense of joy I'm getting just sitting here with you both. What else can you offer new recruits?
New recruits, there's always training programs available. Some people get their truck license and have to pass a test to be able to drive response vehicles, so lights and sirens. But it's simple things like sort of we've got first aid coming up soon. We're going to be doing a road crash rescue course soon. And basically learning how to put the wet stuff on the hot stuff. It's not always as easy as that sounds.
Yeah, there's a very broad range of training and probably 90 at least percent of it is nationally recognised. So you can take it to any service or any job, which is, yeah, really good.
Transferable skills, yeah. Does this cost money?
Absolutely nothing. Only your time.
Even if you've got to go down south to do a course, there's a vehicle that we can use for you to drive down there to do the course. One of our young blokes is going to a course in the next week or two, and he's been provided with flights there and back. So the reality is there is no need to put your hand into your pocket to be in the brigade. We all do various things. We sort of try and have a social night once a month. So we have a few drinks available. One of the blokes in the brigade, he's constantly dipping into his pocket to supply what we eat for the night. It costs you as much as you want it to, but essentially it's nothing. All the equipment, uniforms, etc., they're all provided free. All we ask is your time when you're available. Sort of, we understand if you're working, you may not be able to walk away from it. And if you're out of town, then, you know, sort of you can't help us then, but you might be somewhere where there is a big fire. If you've got your gear with you, you can go to the station there and see if you can offer your assistance. We frequently get members from other brigades that are visiting here join us on jobs.
And we have training once a fortnight for 2 hours. Well, actually twice a month. It's not even once a fortnight. That's really all we expect of people for 2 hours. The station is open every Wednesday night for maintenance on the odd night, on the odd week. But, yeah, it's really not much of a commitment, to be honest. It's, yeah, it's good.
So it's the Wednesday night training twice a month, is it?
Yeah, so the second and the fourth Wednesday of each month.
The station is open every Wednesday, whether it's for our social night, maintenance or training. So people can drop in and have a talk to us anytime on a Wednesday night.
And what other ways can people get in touch? So they've got the option of dropping in. Is there any other way to get in touch if they want to, you know, sound you out about different things?
Abby and Matt have their phone number in the paper each week and they can answer most questions. I'm lucky I don't get my name in the paper. But, yeah, sort of we're always around town somewhere. And get to know us, you can catch up to us anywhere. We live the same as anybody else. If you know us, come say hello. Tell us you'd like to join.
You're not just hiding out in some special CFS bat cave waiting for the bat light.
We used to, but sort of discovered that people were disappearing.
We've also got a Facebook page that anyone can send a message to. So, yeah, that's, you know, if there's any questions, any concerns, anything, you can message or call. It's 0448-791-499.
Beautiful. Where is your brigade up to at the moment in terms of members? What do you need, basically?
Members is pretty much what we need. I think on the books, I think we've got about 12 and our core group is probably 6, which realistically is not enough. We cover a massive area. We cover 200k south, 150k north and roughly 200k east and west, which is a huge area. So if we have one job, you know, say at Glendambo, there will likely be no one left in town if something was to happen.
Perfect timing.
That was terrifying. Myself.
You okay, Abby?
Yeah. I better turn that down now.
You better call the CFS. Now, that did lead me to another question, what you just said.
Well, let's just backtrack a little bit to just before the exterminate. What were you saying?
You were saying there might not be people to, you know, keep people alive, basically.
If we have a job at Glendambo, say, you know, 250k away, and then another job comes in town, well, might not be so good for someone.
It's a simple case of at the moment, I think, reality is we're down to about 8 members. It's only 7 or 8 because some of those that are on the books have been on extended leave, things like that. And you can't count on someone who's on leave, whether they're out of town or just crook. So we're sort of quite happy if we get a crew of 6.
We're stoked if we get a crew of six. That's huge.
But reality is, six isn't enough if it's a house fire, and six is definitely not enough if we're out of town at another job and there's nobody left in town. It's all very well to have three trucks sitting there, but unless you've got crews for them, there's nothing we can do.
And it's not like some other crew can come in, you know, in a useful way, because they're so far away, right?
Our closest brigade is Marla, which is 230 kilometres away to the north, and then to the south is Woomera, which is 360.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know, we don't have anyone close by.
In the time that you've each been in this brigade, how often do you have a, you know, job that you need to go out and assist on average?
It varies. So the last year we had a lot of accidents, etc., out on the highway. Yeah, there's probably a few fires.
We're averaging roughly 100 jobs a year.
That's a lot.
Financial year, yeah. Some weeks we might get 7 jobs in a week, other weeks we might get 1. It's, yeah, just...
And then sometimes you'll go for a month with nothing. This year so far, I think ambulance assists have been our biggest one, whether that's to help lift, to get someone out of the dugout or whatever, or drive the ambulance, cardio, if someone's having a heart attack. We're the ones you finish up pumping the chest. You just don't know what jobs are going to come in. A couple of months ago, we helped rescue a couple of dogs, helping the SES.
That's on the Facebook, by the way, pictures of that if people want to have a look at any. Like, you've got a lot going on your Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, all sort of keeps people up to date with what we're doing, shows that we're sort of there.
We're not just a bushfire service. Mm. It's, you know, we do a lot.
But, yeah, sort of another 25 members wouldn't go astray. Takes a strain off everybody until training night, and then I feel sorry for Abby.
The only other thing I did forget to mention about is you do have to be 18 to join the CFS. However, we do have a cadet program, which is from 11 years old to 17, and that's on the same night. So if there's any younger kids that want to come down. We have one cadet at the moment, but always looking for more.
Are there any other prerequisites to being on the crew?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. 18. Sort of, I've got a buggered back. There's some days where I can barely walk. I've got mental issues, as I said before, but you're still useful.
Yeah, and you definitely know your limitations, and you get to know your crew and you get to know their limitations.
If we're out on a on the highway for a rollover or a crash, doesn't mean you're going to be thrown in there to sort of help get the body out if it's a death. If you're not comfortable, we need people out on the highway with stop-go signs. There's always jobs where you're not the face, so to speak. If you're fit and healthy, yes, you can get your breathing apparatus qualifications, follow that up with the hazmat qualifications, or you can be like me and sort of, yeah, I'm just a driver, pump operator, and, yeah, I can point a hose.
Say just a driver or a pump operator, that's the most important job, Shane.
It's all fairly basic stuff, but you do need to do a little bit of training for any of them. There's been quite a few people who've got their truck licence through the CFS, and it means it costs you bugger all to get your truck licence, and there's little things all the time that can benefit everybody, not just the companionship.
And you don't have to attend every job. Like, if you know that you're not going to be able to deal with, say, a fatality or going to drive the ambulance or something, you are not expected to attend every single job. It's really at your discretion.
So one thing I'm hearing loud and clear, though, is don't underestimate the value that you can be, what you can offer to the 100%. CFS. Everyone's got something to offer.
Absolutely. Even if you don't want to ride the truck, there's plenty of stuff that can be done, operating radios or helping us around the station. There's plenty to do. It's, yeah.
You know, even if you're just sort of, if we're out on a roadblock, because like when the highway was flooded, you can be running out coffees and stuff out to the members that are sitting at that roadblock, whether it's us or the SES. It's always appreciated. There's just little things all the time that you can help with.
What about members of the public who don't necessarily want to be in the brigade but want to support you in your work? Are there ways that people can do that, either by donating funds, donating equipment, anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We always very gratefully accept donations of anything that we can use, money, equipment. They're more than welcome to either contact myself or come to our station on a training night. We do have some lovely anonymous regular donators that donate some money every year, that own businesses around the town. So that's, very, very nice, very helpful. We use that money to buy new equipment or, things like that. So, yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this discussion today?
Other than the fact that we really do desperately need new members, there's not a lot more to add. Sort of, we really are in dire straits as far as membership goes. We've only got to have a couple of people out of town for the day. And we're lucky if we can put two in a truck. If it's a house fire, two blokes, that's just laughable because we need at least two trucks running. We haven't necessarily got two drivers if there's people out of town. We need one truck there pumping water, but we want another truck there supplying the water. So, yeah, we're looking for members all the time. Please, come down and talk to us.
I then asked Abby and Shane if they could just quickly go through again those benefits to being part of their CFS.
Nationally recognised training, that's provided absolutely free of charge. As I think Shane said, you know, it's a really, really good group we've got down there. It's, I know I could ring any one of those brigade members and they could help me or...
It's a case of sort of, we like to think that anybody in the brigade can lean on our shoulder if they're having a bad day. You know, sort of, we all have bad days. We sort of feel that you should be able to come and talk to any of us if you're having a bad day. But I think mostly sort of it's just an extended family. It's the biggest benefit. And you know you're doing something good for your community.
The skills, definitely the skills you learn are, I would have never had any idea how to run a pump, how to put BA on, how to dress in hazmat. I never would have had any clue. But, yeah, the skills you learn are really, really useful.
From my point of view, sort of the fun you get from sort of teasing them when they've got to get into the BA and the hazmat gear.
BA, I mean breathing apparatus.
Yes.
Yep.
But, sort of if you're claustrophobic, I don't recommend the hazmat suits. I'm lucky because I've had a heart attack, I'm not allowed to do BA, but I'm still included in the brigade as a useful member. It's nice to know I'm useful somewhere.
Absolutely, yep.
I think you've covered it all pretty well. There's just a lot of, you know, what have you got to lose? Nothing. You've got a huge amount to gain from joining your CFS.
Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. Sort of you can get a lot of training that is nationally accredited. Yes, most of it sort of is only to do with fighting fires. But even if you're working out in the mines, they have their own brigades out there. It doesn't matter if you shifted to Queensland. All the training that you get through us carries over. It's all nationally accredited. You know, you're thinking about getting a job driving a truck, we can help you get your licence. We'd like you to put in more than just come in and get your licence, but it's one of the options. It's basically sort of, we just like to have fun the same as every family does. Yeah, we have our little squabbles now and then, but you sit down and talk about it, same as in a family, you get around it.
Abby's nodding, by the way.
Yeah, I'm definitely, yeah, totally agreeing, absolutely.
All right. So if people want to join in, they come along on a Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, beside the council yard in Hutchison Street or opposite Bull Service Station, whichever way you like to look at it, just behind the drive-in. I can't think of any other ways of putting it now.
No, I think that wrapped it up. So as you say, Abby, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And people can check out your Facebook page if they want.
Yep.
Just type in Cooper Pedy CFS and you'll find it. Or they could call you.
Absolutely. On 0448 791 499. Please join.
Abby and Shane, it's been a real pleasure having you in studio too today. Thank you very much for joining me and just all the best with getting new members.
Thank you very much.
Much appreciated.